I told you for the last few weeks, we've been not in a series, kind of been doing a few standalone things, but as I begin to look back at where we've been and where we're going to go tonight, I realized that from what we have been studying on, we truly have been, because we started this concept with the idea that words matter. And we started that talking about our words and talking about the things we say and why that matters. And we started that in Psalm 19. And then we looked there, and then we went to Acts chapter 8. If you'll remember last week, we were talking about Acts chapter 8. And what we were talking about was, how should we respond when we feel pressed upon, or when we need to speak up? What's the right way for Christians to respond? And so it went right along with kind of where we'd been before. And we talked about, when we talked about words matter, the main thing that we hit was our personal testimony. And you'll remember that. We talked about the different ways. We talked about God speaking and created testimony, the revealed testimony of the Word. But then the personal testimony of our words that God expects from us. And we talked about how we can measure our words with the Word, how we should monitor our words with the Spirit, and how we should memorize or meditate upon the Word with our mind. And we kind of went through the importance of our speech and how important that is to us. And then we talked about in Acts chapter 8, we talked about a response that we should give. If you'll remember, the church was being persecuted, and so they were being scattered throughout. And it's important that the world sees us responding like the church. And we talked about four areas. We talked about that they were sown, that they were strategically sown, that the world around them needed to see them in their response, needed to be a proper response. They needed to be sound in their teaching. And when they did those things, then they were set for success in sharing the gospel. Well, tonight, we are going to tag along with these last few times that we've gathered together and talked, and we're going to focus on that being set for success in sharing the gospel, because we left off last week talking about that we need to let Christ speak through us, that we need to be people that speak with words of love, and we need to allow Christ to speak through us. And so tonight, we're going to talk about that concept a little bit more. We're going to talk about communicating Christ. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about tonight for just a little bit. And we're going to find our text tonight, and we're going to walk through Acts chapter number 4. So we started in Psalms 19, we went to Acts chapter 8, and now we're going to look at Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look at how the early church communicated Christ. And we're going to learn how we need... How many of you believe that it's important that we learn how to communicate Christ to people? How to share Christ with people. How to, you can say how to witness, you can say whatever you want to say, but the most important thing is we need to learn how to communicate Christ to those that are lost, to those that need Christ, and we also need to learn the value of communicating Christ to our brothers and sisters. How many believe that's important? The way we talk to one another. So the way we speak, the words that we speak with, we have learned are vital, because they tie us in with God's overall plan. And when the world seems to be pressing upon us, or our faith is challenged, or times are tough, it's important that we continue to keep our minds focused on the Lord, so that the Lord can use us to speak on His behalf, no matter what the situation that we are in. And then now we're going to look at, how do we communicate Christ with our world, and how do we communicate Christ with believers. So let's look at this tonight. We're just going to walk through Acts chapter number 4 is really what we're going to do. And we'll just take bits and pieces of this and just kind of journey through this time together. If you'll remember, in Acts chapter number 3, the day of Pentecost has happened, Acts 2, then the church went from there, they were filled with the Spirit, and they moved out from there, and there were thousands won to the Lord on that day. And then it says that they continued in breaking of bread and going from house to house, and daily there was added to them such as should be saved, and they were learning from one another. And in Acts chapter 3, if you'll remember the story of Peter and John headed to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they meet a lame man who had been laying there at the gate, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none." Peter said, he said, "Look upon us, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk," reached out his hand, picked him up, and the Bible says immediately the lame man's feet and ankle bones received their strength, and then it said he went leaping and dancing and praising God into the temple. And so after that happened, the leaders did not like it. Okay, and the people came gathered around because this miracle had occurred. The leaders didn't like this. The religious didn't like this because of what this meant. And Peter begins to preach to the people. That's what it tells us in Acts chapter number 3. And he tells them to repent, therefore, and be converted in verse number 19. That your sins would be blotted out and that times of refreshing would be able to come. And so he's preaching to them, and then in Acts chapter 4, it says in verse number 1, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So a miracle occurs. The church now is gathered together. Peter begins to preach to them. Many people believe. There's already thousands that have come through the day of Pentecost, and now some 5,000 men are numbered in the group now. Verse 5, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and their elders and their scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" We'll stop there and we'll catch up, and then we'll just work our way through. So we see now the miracle has occurred. Salvation has come to many people. The early church knew how to preach the gospel. Would you agree with that? Peter and the others would stand up and they knew how to share the gospel. They were very focused. They preached on Christ. They preached on the fact that he had been crucified, but he had resurrected. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. And people were drawn to them because of the miracles that would occur and because of the power of the Spirit of God upon them, enabling them to preach. But now we see them in a different setting. And we're going to pick them up now, not in a setting of preaching to the masses, but we're going to pick them up in a setting of communicating Christ to those who don't believe. Now, they were doing that in the big settings, but now they're doing that amongst these religious leaders, the critics, those that had had a hand to play in the crucifixion of Christ, those that were attempting to stop this movement before it could ever get off the ground, those that were opposed to them. And so we're going to be able to learn tonight how to communicate Christ to those who don't believe. And we believe that would be important to know. Something that's good for us as Christians to know what to do. And I think this will help us in every setting when it comes to communicating Christ. And so they say to them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Okay, verse number 8. Then Peter, and we can't get past this next phrase, because it's the most important phrase probably, because without this, Peter could do nothing. But then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that there's a value on being filled with the Holy Spirit. But it also means to us, people that are full of the Holy Spirit will be people that communicate Christ. Amen. And it brings boldness. He brings boldness to us. But what, I want you to understand this. We are a Spirit-filled church. We are people who believe in the full gospel. We believe in the full experience that we see in the Word of God. we of all people should be people who know how to communicate Christ in any setting. There should be no setting that we could not communicate Christ in. And so Peter, and the key to that was, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now he's confronted with something that he hasn't really had to do before. Okay, how many of you see this? Remember, the last time Peter was really confronted like this, he didn't respond real well. Okay, now we're not talking now about standing up on the upper room, out on the balcony, and preaching to the masses. He had done that, and that was great. We're not talking about just gathering in and a miracle has occurred and people have gathered and are marveling at the miracle, and he starts telling them how this happened. We're now talking about he is being confronted. And the last time that happened was when he denied Christ. I believe that's why the Bible specifically says Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because now this is a different Peter. This is not the same Peter who would deny Christ on the night that he would be crucified, but this is now Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, and now he knows how to communicate Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." I'm going to give you some keys tonight to communicating the gospel. And you can use this with your family, friends, co-workers, whatever the case might be. We're just going to look at, we're going to pull some thoughts out of this of how Peter and the early church communicates the gospel, first of all, with the world. The first thing that he does is he shares his experience. Okay, they confronted him and they said, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" They couldn't deny the miracle, so they're trying to confront him. So Peter, the first thing he does is he shares the truth of the experience. Okay, now this will help you if you'll be able to remember these things, and I can get them across to you the way we need to. He shares in verse 9 and 10, if today we're judged for this good deed that happened to this guy, this helpless man who was lame and now he's raised before you and you've seen him dancing and he's well and he's excited, then let me tell you, it's through the name of Jesus Christ whom you've crucified. He did not back away from the experience. He shared the experience truthfully. The man was lame. The man was healed. I got to tell you this. As Christians, as believers, as people who know God, we should be sharing our experiences truthfully. I want you to notice what he didn't do, and I want to hit this quickly. He did not exaggerate his experience in order to tell a good story. We get Christians that sometimes will do that. They'll exaggerate the experiences. I mean, you start exaggerating experiences and you get yourself in trouble. I've heard preachers tell stories and later they were confronted that they weren't actually true stories, and they would say, "Well, I was just trying to build their faith." No, you were exaggerating the truth. If you want to be real bold about it, you were lying. That's what you were doing. Yeah. But it's important that we share our experiences. Let me say this to you. When we are communicating Christ to people that do not believe, the most powerful weapon, or one of the most powerful weapons that you have, is your experience. It's what you have seen, what you have witnessed, maybe what Christ has done in you. Peter was experiencing what Christ did through him for this man. But it's important that you not back away from your experiences. When Christ has worked wonderfully in your life, or you've seen him work wonderfully in lives around you, share those experiences. Amen? How many believe that's important when we are communicating Christ, especially to people that do not believe? Well, what if they don't believe my experience? They're confronted with it anyway. If you're sharing it truthfully, they're confronted with the truth of that experience. And they may deny it, or they may not like it, or they might write it off or laugh it off. But we are to share our experiences. Do you know why we have experiences with God in this world? To share them. To build our faith, to bring glory to God, and to share them with others. So share your experiences. As I was looking through this, and the Lord was bringing this into my mind, that it's important that we communicate Christ, and one way we do that is by sharing our experiences. We've got a lot of people that say, well, I don't know what to say to people. Tell them your experience. I mean, no, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to tell them your experience. You don't have to have scriptures memorized. You should, and you should be learning scriptures. But you don't have to share your experience. What power? How has this happened? That's what they're asking him. In what name? By what authority? By what power? How has this happened? And so Peter is sharing the experience of what happened. I mean, no, that's powerful. Is any of you political junkies? Have any been drawn into the presidential things going on right now? You know, I am. I have to admit to you. I sit and watch them. Veronica, she goes off in the other room. That way, I think she does it so she doesn't have to hear me share all my opinions. But I'm glued to them. When it's primary night, if I'm home and I'm watching, I'm watching. I'm hearing. I hear them say the same thing 150 times, and I hear the news anchors say the same thing 150 times. But I just sit and I keep watching the numbers, keep seeing. That's just how it is. Okay, but do you know when those politicians are on the campaign trail, do you know what is the most powerful way they communicate to people to try to get those people to relate to them? They share experiences. How many times have you heard about that poor little three-legged kid that comes up to them and tells them how horrible life is because the other party has done whatever they've done, and they're going to fight for that kid with all their might, right? I mean, they share experiences. I don't know if I believe all of them or not. In fact, I don't believe all of them, but that's another thing. But they're out there and they're sharing these stories. They're pulling at the strings of people, because when you share your experience, it gets deeper than just a head knowledge. It begins to touch other aspects of your being. Now hear that. That is important. We're not manipulators, and that's not what we're trying to do. If you're trying to manipulate people, you're going about everything the wrong way. But your experiences touch people at a deeper level than just a head knowledge. That is why it is important that you testify of the glory of God. That is why Jesus, when they're walking by a blind man and they say to him, who sinned, this man or his parents? That's why Jesus would say to them, neither, but for the glory of God. Because the story he's going to tell is going to be able to touch people at a different level. Amen? I never will forget at General Assembly one year, they told this story about this man in this other country, poverty. He was needing money for a building to purchase. He's a pastor, and he's wanting to purchase a building in order to keep the gospel going. He's wanting to reach the lost, and he has a desire, and the building that he needs, he can't get. And there was one way that was discovered he could do it, and that was he could give an eye. And they would pay him to do that, and the amount they would pay him would be enough to give him the building so he could reach the lost. And so he's willing to do that. And he goes in to have this operation, and the doctor gets to talking to him, and the story goes, without going into all the details of it, that when the man left, he had both of his eyes, and the doctor was so moved by what the man was willing to do for the gospel, and the Spirit of God got a hold of him, that he gave him the money to go have the building. Okay? And that was powerful enough. But what was even more powerful was when they brought the man out onto the stage. And now it's not just a story we've heard about, but it's a man that's there. And I want to tell you, they raised a big offering that night. Amen. I mean, you got a guy sitting there was willing to give his eye for the God. You know, it puts a little conviction in people. You know, and they got a big arm because the story, his story, was powerful and it touched me. Your stories will touch people. So how do you communicate Christ with unbelievers or with the world or with people that need Jesus? You share your experiences. Right? If you've had a salvation experience, share that. If you've had a provision experience, share that. If you've had a moment that God has done something powerful in your life or somebody connected to your family or a moment of protection, share that. It touches people at levels that point them to the reality of Christ. But share it truthfully. Amen. You don't have to flower up the gospel. You don't have to flower up your experiences. Your experiences are powerful. So the first thing that Peter does is he talks about the experience. And listen to the words he uses in verse 9. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man. Amen. I mean, he's pouring it on them now. If we're being judged for a good deed done to a helpless man. This guy was lame. He couldn't walk. And if you're going to bring us in, and he's telling them the story. He's drawing them in to the story of what Christ can do. And he shares the experience so he can tell them who did this experience. And it was Christ. Sometimes we share our experiences, but we share them sometimes in such a way that we glorify the past and the stuff that God brought us out of more than we glorify the Christ who brought us out of it. Have you ever heard stories like that? You know, I used to think when I was growing up that, you know, people would come in, they had the worst stories I could ever imagine. I used to think, Lord, I'd love to have a testimony like that for you. But the older I got, I realized, no, I didn't want to have to go through all the stuff they went through to have that kind of testimony. But sometimes it seemed like they were, we'd have people come in and give their testimonies. They'd spend 45 minutes on how horrible they were and how rotten they were and all the horrible stuff they did and all that. And then they'd spend about 3 or 4 minutes telling that Jesus saved them. The moral of the story is not to draw people into all the horrific things. The moral of the story is to point them to Jesus. And so Peter, he tells them this helpless man, this good deed that was done. But here's how it happened. Okay, so he's sharing his experience. The second thing that he does is he says to them in verse number 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, okay, whom you crucified. Now, here's the thing. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Peter now is speaking his faith. He speaks his experience and he speaks what he believes. Amen. If you want to communicate Christ to people, you got to speak your faith. And in order to speak your faith, you got to have some faith. Peter is telling them, this is what I believe. Now, he had the experience to back it up. Because he said to the man, in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy got up and walked. And so he's recounting the story, but he's telling them, this is what I believe. You asked me for my story. I'm communicating Christ. I'm going to tell you who I believe in. Amen. An important aspect of communicating Christ is to share your experience, but then to share what you believe, who you believe. Paul would say, I know in whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Share your experiences, but share your faith, what you believe. Amen. Don't share what somebody else believes. Share what you believe. Amen. Let me know it's a lot. Let me know the story I told you about the guy giving his eye. That's a powerful story. Let me know it would have been a whole lot more powerful tonight if that guy was here telling you the story and then he told you why who he believes set all that up. See, when we mingle our experiences and we're strong in our faith and we're sharing what we believe, the Spirit of God is able to draw people to that. It's So when you're communicating Christ, share your experiences, but share faith, belief, conviction. Amen. It's hard for me. I still have a hard time considering myself not a young minister. I'm not. I haven't been for a long time, but in my mind, I still have that mindset. And so it always feels funny to me when I start saying that. But I tell young ministers or people who are just starting preaching or beginning their ministries or whatever that talk with me about preaching and any advice I have about preaching. And I always tell them this. Here's the thing. If God has given you a message, then get up and speak that message in faith and with conviction. Don't sell it short. I've heard people that had a message from God, but by the time it was done, their message that they had nerved their way right out of it being a message of God. They I will tell them, speak it because you believe it. If God's given you a word, soak in it and study it out until you believe what you're saying. I mean, how many believe it's important for us to believe what we're communicating? If you don't believe what you're communicating, you will not be effective. Amen? I'm not a salesman. I would probably starve to death, and my family would starve to death if we had to survive on my salesman ability. My wife is not a saleswoman. We've been through all the, you know, the Mary Kay and all that, you know, she was going to do those things, and all we did, Mary Kay, we just ended up with a whole bunch of products sitting around at the house because she didn't want to close the sale and push the deal, you know. But here's the thing, if you're a good salesman, you got to believe in what you're selling. Ain't right? Is that not true? Do you effectively communicate? Are you more effective in your communication if you believe what you're saying? Then here's the thing, believe what you're saying about Jesus. This is something that I think we leave out when we're communicating about Christ. Amen? I remember as a young teenager, they took us out to the area where all the people were hanging out, and outside a movie theater and outside some other things, and they had went taught us a few things to witness, handed us some tracts. This was a long time ago. And then they just took us out there and dropped us off and wanted us to go witness to people. We're just learning how. And that's well and good, but I wasn't real effective. And I think the reason for that was because I wasn't sold on the concept of how I was doing what I was doing, and I probably wasn't sure enough in what I believed to be real effective. Amen. And I think a lot of Christians do not communicate Christ because they are not confident in what they believe. So here's what I'm going to tell you. When you're communicating Christ, share your experiences and share what you believe. You'll be effective if you'll do that. Don't try to get into things that you're not even sure of. Amen. I mean, if you don't know what all the symbolism of the temple was and all the dimensions and how it all looked and what it all meant, and then don't try to get in an argument with someone about that. You're not going to be very convincing. But you can share with them what you believe, what you know to be true, what you're convinced of, right? That's what Peter's doing here. He's saying, if we're being judged right now, I don't have all the answers, but if we're being judged for what happened to this man, I know what happened to this man. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was made well.
Being a young guy himself.
Yes. Yeah.
We really need faith in that God has a hookup that when we share our testimony answers the question or the objection. Because these guys' objections were, wait a minute, the name of Jesus and resurrection from the dead. And Peter just goes, in the name of Jesus.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes. That's exactly right. Well, and that's what they said. They asked him, and it just hit me as you were saying that. They asked him, by what power or by what name have you done this? And he answered them. by the power of the resurrection living Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he was convinced and he answered it in faith. How many know when you are confident, it's hard to debate that. You've got the experience now, and you know what you believe. You share that. Okay? So it's experience. You share your faith confidently. And then he says, this is how this man stands here before you whole. Okay? Verse 11. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Amen. Okay, now, I want us to look at this for just a moment. And I want you to see what is happening here, because this is going to become the most important aspect of what we talk about. He is now speaking Scripture. Okay? So he shared his experience, shared what's happened, shares what he knows, what he believes, that it's in the name of Jesus, and then he shares the Word. And the Word that he shares comes out of Psalm 118, 118th Psalm, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Amen? And so now Peter has got the Word. He's communicating Christ. And he's doing it out of the Old Testament now. And he's saying to them, here's the experience. I can tell you the experience of them. I can tell you what I believe and in whose name and by what power this happened. I can tell you my faith. And then I can show you Scripture. That this Jesus that I'm telling you has done this is the stone which was rejected. In verse 12, then he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men will be saved, must be saved. Amen. Now he's pulling the Word. So I'm walking us down this journey of communicating Christ. Share your experience. Share your faith. Share what you believe confidently and share the Word. Let me know if you're going to share the Word, you've got to know the Word. Now, here's what I believe happened. The Spirit of God brought that Word to Peter. He didn't plan that out in that moment. He didn't have time to work on his strategy. Okay? He didn't have time to run to the scrolls and scroll back through so he could write down his scriptures that he was going to use. But when he shares the experience and he shares his faith, being full of the Spirit of God now is able to bring Scripture to his mind. How many know God can do that for you? You might say, oh, I can't remember Scripture, but the Spirit of God can. Amen. He breathed it. I think he can remember it. And if you lean upon him, he can bring it through you. He once spoke through a donkey. He can probably speak through you. He said if the people hold their tongue, the rocks will cry out. So I believe he could speak through you. So if you are walking in His Spirit, and I'm not saying you shouldn't know the Word, you need to know the Word, because if you get it in you, then it's going to be easy to bring out of you. But the Spirit of God, I got to tell you, there are many times that I am studying and preparing, or many times when I'm preaching or sharing, that the Spirit of God will just bring a Scripture to me, and before I even have time to think about it, I'm saying it. It's not because I planned it. It's not because, and there have been many times that I will say to Russell, go to whatever, and I haven't planned it at all. The Lord just brought it to my mind. And a few of those times I've thought, I hope that's the right Scripture. But you know what? The Lord knows, and the Spirit of God knows, and He's able to bring to you. So be willing to share the Word. We're talking about communicating Christ. So you've got experiences that are truth, so share those. You've got faith that is alive in you, that is empowered by the Spirit, all about Jesus and His resurrection and His life, and you've got Scripture. I'm trying to encourage you a little bit to not be intimidated about communicating Christ. Peter, excuse me, uses their textbook. And he uses it against them. These guys believed the Old Testament. They didn't believe Jesus, but they knew the Old Testament. That's exactly right. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yes, he did. It wasn't much. He's got the experience, he's got faith, and he's got the Word. And do you know, we have that. You have experiences. It might not be a lame man that's been healed. It might not be some super, just unbelievable miracle. But you know what the greatest miracle of all is? Your life change. That Jesus came and gave you new life and changed your outlook on life. Right? Share your experience. Share it in faith. And share the Word. Okay? That's what he's doing. So verse 11 now, he's given verse 12. He's speaking out the Word. Verse 12, then he says, there is no salvation in any other. For now, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And now, he's going to tell them the purpose of this challenge. Now he's going to drive home the purpose. Now he shared experience, he shared faith, he shared the Word. Now he's going to tell them, this is what I really want to say to you. And the purpose of our communicating Christ is to let people know there is no other way to the Father but through Him. We must never back away from that. Part of the reason the church is not effective in our world right now, much of the church is not effective in truly communicating Christ and seeing life change, is because we have backed away from that. We have told we don't want to offend people, and so we have said, well, you know, maybe there's other ways to God. No, not according to the Word. We have said, well, you know, there's things we don't, not according to the Word. There is only one name by which you must be saved, and that is Jesus. He's sealing it. He's confronting now the purpose. He's not going to fall short in this. He's going to challenge them. When you're communicating Christ, there needs to be a challenge. Amen. There needs to be. They need to know where this is pointing to. We do not do anyone a favor when we talk about Christ, but we won't talk about the most important thing they need to know about Christ, and that is He's their only hope. Amen. So Peter is going to drive this home. He said, okay, here it is, guys. I've told you my experience. I spoke to you what I believe, my faith. I believe it was the name of Jesus. It was the life that He has. I believe it. I've got Scripture that I'm going to give to you. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the one that makes all this possible. And now I'm going to bring it home. If you don't accept Him, there's no hope. Amen. He's speaking with purpose now. Let me read on a little bit. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. It doesn't mean that... Now understand this. I had a debate with someone about this not long ago. It doesn't mean that they had no education or had no training. My goodness, they just had 3.5 years, the greatest training anyone could ever have. Walking with Jesus. And it doesn't mean they were totally uneducated. People try to say, oh, they were so uneducated. They couldn't. No, you got to understand, Jewish, in their culture, they knew the word. They were taught the law. They were educated in the law. They were brought up in the law. Some would say that John, they really believed that James and John not only was their father a fisherman, but they really believe that there is evidence that points to the fact that they were in a lineage of priesthood. They were not, but they had been. They had that in their family. So before we go so crazy and say, oh, they we don't need any type of... No, we need to train ourselves and we need to have knowledge and we need to... But they looked at them and said, hey, they're not educated like we are. They're not trained like we are. But they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Amen. They had been with him, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with him, they couldn't say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred and they said, what are we going to do? There's a miracle here. That's evident. We can't deny it. But so that it spreads no further, let's threaten them and tell them they can't speak in that name anymore. So they called them with their plan now and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. And here's what Peter responds in John. And Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now he's sharing with them his heart. Amen. He's telling them, listen, guys, whether it's right or wrong, you'll have to be the judge of that. I can't help but talk about the things I've seen and heard. We got a lot of people that will tell you, faith is a private thing. Well, not according to our gospel. Amen. Are y'all still with me? He said, now faith, that's a private thing. Not according to our word. Faith is a public thing. We are supposed to share. And we need to share our heart. We need to let them know. They say, you don't need to be telling me about this Jesus. Then you share your heart with them. Listen. If you don't want to hear it, that's fine. But I just have to tell you what I've seen and heard. Communicate with your heart. I'm going to sum these up. And in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest told them. Let me back up. Verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they glorified God for what he had done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own, told them what they said. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. And they cried out to the Lord, and they asked for boldness. Verse 29, grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. They communicated Christ boldly. Okay, now let me sum this up. Because I see a pattern of how we can communicate Christ. Share our experience. We all know what's happened to us. Share your experience. Share what you believe. Don't be ashamed of what you believe. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. Amen? Share in faith. Share the word. Know the scripture, let the Spirit lead you, share the word. Share the purpose behind it all, not just a good story, but that Jesus is the only hope. Share your heart. And let God give you boldness. Amen. And when they did, the place was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says again on that day. They had this fresh experience and they head out and they went out to turn their world upside down by communicating Christ. I want you to leave here tonight understanding you can communicate Christ to your world. You can. We can do those things. Would you agree with that? And that coworker, that neighbor, that relative, that friend that you meet that doesn't believe or you can share with them your experience. You can share with them what you believe. How many know they share with you what they believe all the time? That's one thing that aggravates me about Christians. I got to be honest with you. We sit around and let the world spew out what they believe to us all the time, and then we come up with all of our wimpy little excuses to not share what we believe. Amen? Wait. We share what you believe. Share your faith. Share the word. Speak the purpose of it all. Bring it home. Speak from your heart. And communicate with boldness. Amen. That's not a hard thing, but I want to tell you, you can communicate Christ with people if you'll do that. And you can be effective. I don't know how many of you have or haven't. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But I got to tell you, the greatest experience outside of your salvation, the greatest experience in Christ that you will have is if you are privileged to lead somebody to Jesus. It's the greatest experience you'll ever have outside of your salvation experience in your life in Christ. When you share and somebody, it touches their heart, and they answer that call to Christ, there's no feeling like that in the world. Amen? And the problem is, if we're not out sharing, we'll never have that experience. But once you've had that experience, you want to keep doing it. Amen. Communicate Christ. In everything. Now, here's what I wanted to say, and then we'll close. But here's what I wanted to say. This is usable. I'm not just saying, let's go out and, you know, I think of my son. I remember when he was a little guy, we were living at the parsonage, and he came into the house one day, and he said, Dad, one of the older boys in the neighborhood was picking on him. And he said, Dad, that boy keeps picking on me. And so I said, son, you know, let's pray for him. No, I didn't say that. I said, next time he does that to you, here's what you do. I said, you get him in a headlock, you roll him down on the ground. I showed him how to do it. And I said, you squeeze his neck till he cries or quits. Now, you can judge me for that. That's all right. I said, if he picks on you again, that's what you do. Okay, he'd been picking on him. Amen. So, Austin goes straight out the door. And I mean, maybe 10 minutes later, he comes running back in the door and he says, Dad, guess what? I said, what's that? And he said, it worked. I said, what? He said, yeah, I grabbed him and I threw him down on the ground and I squeezed his neck and he cried. And I said, son, I told you to do that next time he picked on you. But he did. He ran right out with the purpose of doing that. I'm not telling you to go out and find the next person you find and you're hammering down on them with this, I'm coming to win you to Jesus. I'm telling you, this will work in any form of communication you're in. Just in conversation. Share your experience. Do you know we are our experiences? When you share your experience, bring Christ into it. When you talk about your life, talk about Christ. Amen. I'm not saying let's go out and let's all go, you know, down to Walmart and instead of sell cookies out front, we're just going to all start targeting everybody and coming at them with our Bibles. That I'm saying in our conversations, communicate Christ. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And especially if you get to talking about a witness, you know, what had happened to you.
Sure.
And your family members. But when Christ was alive, the only communication they had was by mouth.
That's right. That's how they shared.
And all the way back to thousands of years
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you get together with your family, if your family's anything like mine, they'll tell stories. They're usually, you know, they're usually not talking about Christ. They're telling stories of all the things they've done and all this stuff, and we'll talk about all the times they've been in trouble and all that kind of stuff. Well, hey, we're Pentecostal. You should have some good stories that could probably shock some of them right there. Tell your story. Tell what Christ has done for you. And speak it in faith. Be bold about it. Share the word. Have a purpose. And communicate your heart. Amen. I saw that. We've been in this process of our words mattering. And we've been in this process of being that example of Christ, even when things aren't going well and all that. But it hit me. But we also have to communicate Christ in all settings. And so I just wanted to put that out there for you. Take the word, walk through that, and give us an example of how we can communicate Christ. Apply it and watch it work. You know what? Sometimes you'll tell a story about something and people may not listen, but you'd be surprised. Later they'll come back when no one else might be around and they'll want to talk to you about that. Share your story. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight.